having completed our first week of school at St. Felix and at Wabasha Kellogg, I thought it would be fitting to begin with some lessons on geography, history, and mythology. In the Holy Land, just 25 miles due north of the Sea of Galilee, is a city called Caesarea Philippi. When Herod the Great's son Philip became tetrarch of that region from 4 BC to 33 AD, which is the lifetime of Jesus, he rebuilt the city and renamed it in honor of Tiberius Caesar, who was reigning in Rome at the time as the Roman emperor from 14 to 37 AD. And because he made the city after his own image and likeness, he added his own name to the city, Philippi. Literally, the Caesarea of Philip, to distinguish it from another city named Caesarea, which was located on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. That Caesarea Martima, Mar meaning sea, was located right on the sea. That's where Pontius Pilate lived, near the sea, as the Roman procurator. But Philip lived up in the Caesarea of Philippi, in his Caesarea in the north, 25 miles to the north of the Sea of Galilee. The city of Caesarea Philippi is located at the base of Mount Hermon and next to a spring that is the headwaters of the Jordan River. The city of Caesarea Philippi is not primarily a Jewish city, but a Gentile city. It is full of pagan Greeks. It was a city established by Alexander the Great himself. Now, as you might guess, the city of Caesarea Philippi was not always called Caesarea Philippi. When the Greeks conquered it, they called it Panion or Panias because the Greeks built a temple there to the Greek god Pan. Hence the name of the city, Panias. Now, for our mythology lesson, what is Pan, the Greek god of? You didn't have mythology this week at school. Pan is the Greek god of shepherds and flocks, because it comes from the Greek verb panein, which means to pasture. Now, if you have been fortunate enough to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, you might remember seeing the ruins to the temple of the god Pan there at Caesarea Philippi. And if you've been there, you know that it's built, the temple is built right at the edge of this very steep cliff and rock that comes at the bottom of Mount Hermon. And at the bottom of this very steep cliff and rock, there's a big open cave where they threw sacrifices into the cave to the Greek god Pan. Because the Greeks believed that this gaping hole or cave at the base of the rock was the gateway to hell. And now, this geographical, historical, and mythological background opens up new doors for us to understanding today's gospel. In today's gospel, Jesus takes the disciples north to Caesarea Philippi. It is the farthest north that Jesus ever walked on this planet. He takes them to Caesarea Philippi, not by accident. Jesus never does anything by accident. Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how inscrutable his judgments, how unsearchable his ways. All part of the divine plan, he takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. I'm sure many of you have picked up all the connections. It is here in the city of Pan, dedicated to the god of shepherds, flocks, and pastures, that Jesus, the true good shepherd, appoints Peter to shepherd and to pasture and to take care of his flock, the church. It is here at the base of this very steep cliff and rock that Jesus says, "No, Simon, you will be the rock. You will be Petros. You will be the rock that will last." And here at this spot at Caesarea Philippi, where the pagans built a temple to a false god, Jesus says, "I will build my church, the true temple, my beautiful bride." Here at Caesarea Philippi, where the pagans believed the gates of hell were, Jesus says, "I will build my church and my temple, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Oh, how the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, he does everything perfectly at the proper time and at the proper place. Yes, if you go to Caesarea Philippi, you'll see the ruins of the ruins of the temple to Pan, destroyed. But the true church, established by Jesus Christ, is still around after 2,000 years, still led by the successor of St. Peter the Rock, Pope Francis, Pope number 266. You know, at the time of Jesus, all the historians, if you studied your Greek mythology this week, you know that Pan is the only Greek god. He was half animal and half divine. He is the only Greek god to die. He is the only Greek god to die, and he died during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, remember, 14 to 37 AD, which is the lifetime of Jesus. The lifetime of Jesus. And so Jesus probably, maybe, went to Caesarea Philippi after the ancient Greek and Roman world found out about the death of their shepherd god. Because Jesus is saying, "Now I'm going to take over as the shepherd god, true god and true man." G.K. Chesterton, I don't know if you're a G.K. Chesterton fan like I am, but G.K. Chesterton makes a really big deal about this. And he says, this is from G.K. Chesterton, he said, "It is said truly in a sense that Pan died because Christ was born. It is almost as true in another sense that men knew that Christ was born because Pan was already dead." And so, right at the same time, at the death of the shepherd god of the Greeks, is born the true shepherd of all mankind, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, there's one more thing that we have to talk about, and that is the niches in the Temple of Pan, there at Caesarea Philippi. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. In the temple, there are these niches, kind of like our stained glass windows along the side, where they had statues of their Greek gods. Now, the ruins today, of course, they're totally torn down. But there they once were. And I just picture Jesus in my head saying to the disciples, "So, who do you say that I am? Am I just another one of these Greek gods?" You remember studying your mythology, Greek gods are not so virtuous all the time. They sin a lot. They make tons of mistakes. They get in trouble all the time. They're always causing division and conflict. Jesus says, is this who you think I am? Just one of many gods in the niches? They come up with a few kind of lame answers about, you know, John the Baptist and Jeremiah. And then Peter is inspired to say, "No, you're the Christos. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You are God in the flesh. You're not just another one of these many gods of the Greeks and the Romans. You are the true and only God." And I think in my own life, is Pan really dead? I mean, Pan died a long time ago, but is he really dead? Or are there still false shepherds in my life? False shepherds and false prophets that I'm listening to? Other false gods that kind of occupy the same place of Jesus, and I kind of take Jesus' opinion and the opinion of some other people, and I kind of weigh them out and decide what to do? Or is Pan really dead? And all of the other gods, are they really dead in my life? Is Jesus really the only God? Sometimes I classify him and I say, well, he has good advice, a good, you know, good thing to say now and then, but sometimes he makes mistakes, like establishing one true church. Notice Jesus didn't say to the 12 apostles, I'd like to establish 12 churches. No, he says one church, one shepherd, and when I'm gone, Peter's in charge and his successors. That's it. If Jesus is really the Christ, if Jesus is really God, then what he says is true. And he established one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. One. As our means of salvation, as our means of grace to get to him. If Jesus is really who he says he is, then everything that he says is true, including his establishment of one, only one, true Catholic church. Who do you say that Jesus is? One among many? I know that I say that Jesus is the Christos, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I say, and I believe, that Jesus is God, who established one true church out of love for us as a means of grace and an instrument to lead us to heaven.